Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, even the great debate, but it could only be either of those if you joined in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls, but your SMS, your emails, and even your tweets also. Here are the relevant numbers and addresses. Call us on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to move swiftly on. You can SMS the show on 44780008066. The best of those will come up here on the comment wall. You can email us at comment@presstv.co.uk, and you can tweet us at comment_PressTV. One subject tonight, and what subject could it be other than this one? The Intifada, the third Intifada in Palestine, in Holy Jerusalem, in the occupied West Bank, and in besieged Gaza. Either is on the brink of breaking out, or, depending on your point of view, has already begun. Now, no one has the right to announce a third Intifada, except the popular organizations and committees that are operating under occupation and siege. But sometimes when something looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's probably because it is a duck. Now, so far, bloody and terrible though it has been, the number of people killed on the Palestinian side, and indeed on the Israeli side, in the first few days of this surge in conflict has been less than at the beginning of the first and second intifadas. But that doesn't mean that it's not an intifada. What does intifada mean? In English, it means a rising up, a shaking off of the shackles. And whilst it might be difficult to define that, it's easy to recognize it. I'm asking the question, what will prompt the third intifada, or what has prompted the third intifada? And here, for what it's worth, is my take. The Palestinians just couldn't take it anymore. 600,000 illegal settlers are now living on the occupied territories in Jerusalem and in the West Bank. The apartheid wall, the military roads, the checkpoints, the paving over of the West Bank for the purposes of occupation have rendered, as President Mahmoud Abbas said at the United Nations, have rendered Oslo effectively null and void. Now, I supported the Oslo agreement, more fool me. My comrade, the late President Arafat, persuaded me to do so. But whether it was right or whether it was wrong to support it 20 years ago, it's clearly not going anywhere at all. And in fact, it is clearly now, demographically, topographically, militarily, and politically, unviable. That means that the struggle now underway must have other goals. And those goals dovetail with the new factor in this third intifada, which is the increasing ungovernability of the Palestinian population inside the so-called Green Line, inside so-called 1948 Israel. And right at the center, I can tell you, if you haven't heard it before, hear it now. Right at the center of the cabinet's agenda in Tel Aviv right now is what they call static transfer, the drawing of a new line, a new boundary, and the expulsion from Israel and from Israeli citizenship, ironically, of huge numbers, tens, maybe hundreds of thousands, of so-called Israeli Arabs, in fact, Palestinians living in the territory occupied in 1948. Who will be rendered stateless and expelled and told they are no longer citizens. And so the demand, at least my demand, it's not the demand of President Abbas, but it's my view that the only solution to this crisis is one democratic state of Palestine in the territory from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, where Jews, Muslims, and Christians live as equal citizens under the law. Here was President Abbas at the UN in New York.
Here we declare that as long as Israel refuses to commit to the agreement signed with us, which render us an authority without real powers, and as long as Israel refuses to cease settlement activities and to release the fourth group of Palestinian prisoners in accordance with our agreements, Israel leaves us no choice but to insist that we will not remain the only ones committed to the implementation of these agreements, while Israel continuously violates them. We therefore declare that we cannot continue to be bound by these agreements, and that Israel must assume fully all of its responsibilities as an occupying power, because the status quo cannot continue, and the decisions of the Palestinian Central Council last March are specific and binding. As long as Israel is not committed to the signed agreements and undermine all agreements, we, for our part, are not committed to those agreements, and Israel must bear full responsibility for this situation.
Well, these were powerful words from President Abbas, but as one of the young men now dead, martyred in the current uprising, put it, these were sweet words, Mr. President, but the time for words has passed. Let's go to occupied Palestine to talk to Press TV's correspondent there, Mona Kandil. Mona, welcome to the show. Mona, can you hear me? Unfortunately, that line has been lost momentarily. We will come back to it. Mona, are you there?
Yeah.
Mona, please, you're on the air now. Tell us, what's the situation this evening? How was the Juma prayers? What happened in Jerusalem? What's happening in occupied Palestine?
Well, it's the 14th consecutive day where the Palestinians are continuing their protests on a daily basis. These protests in several locations in the occupied West Bank, as in Jerusalem. I'll quote, it seems that those Palestinians, the young generation, the majority of those who are taking part in these protests were only born during the period when signing the Oslo Accords. So they don't know very well about the first Intifada uprising. And this is why they are now fed up with the Palestinian leadership, let's say, promises to have an independent Palestinian state, a contiguous state. All what they know and all what they see on ground is more settlements that are built on their own privately owned lands. They know about the killings, the murdering of young Palestinians, those hundreds of checkpoints on the occupied West Bank and inside the Jerusalem, Al-Quds, the dividing of Al-Quds to an eastern and western part, preventing them the freedom of prayers, going to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They only know that there is an ongoing arrest of Palestinian youths. This is why they took the choice to have another form of intifada and uprising. This is why they are taking part in these demonstrations. Last Friday, it was a day of anger, according to the Palestinians. They prefer to call it as a day of anger. And there were lots of protests, especially in the areas very close to the settlements, adjacent to Israeli settlements. At the checkpoints, the Israeli forces are using not only stun grenades and tear gas, they are using live ammunition. Now, what was happening during the last days there were a number of stabbings by young Palestinians, and they were immediately killed by Israeli soldiers. But after that, the Israeli settlers took it as an excuse. When they saw a Palestinian, they just started screaming in the street that there is a terrorist, there is a Palestinian terrorist holding a knife, he wants to kill us. And here the Israeli soldiers immediately interfere and immediately use live ammunition and end the life of those young Palestinians, even if they didn't do anything. A number of Palestinian girls also were attacked by extremist settlers. Many of them, their hijab was pulled by force, and they were attacked by those Israeli settlers. And they were shot and wounded as well as arrested, like what happened to this young girl, Marah Bakir, 15 years old, who was returning back home from school with her friends. Here an Israeli settler attacked her and started shouting that she's a terrorist. And when she tried to escape, the soldiers surrounded her and opened fire against her. They seriously wounded her and arrested her. And she is still in an Israeli jail. Now, it seems that those Palestinians, this is why, are continuing, are going on with their protests. But then there was the several emergency meetings for Israeli Prime Minister with his security officials and the Israeli security cabinet. Several decisions were taken. The most important is to demolish the homes of the Palestinians who carried out the attacks. Also, the Israeli authorities decided not to hand over the bodies of those Palestinians who carried out the attacks. And thousands of Israeli soldiers were deployed inside the city of Jerusalem at checkpoints in the occupied West Bank, and also more battalions were sent to the borders with the Gaza Strip. And for the first time, Israeli soldiers were sent to the city centers, to the lands that were occupied in 1948, because in Sakhnin, this Arab town, the majority of it are Palestinians, not Israelis. There was a major protest. 15,000 Palestinians took part in this demonstration. They were calling for ending the Israeli crimes. They were calling for the Israeli regime, triggered by Netanyahu, to immediately stop killing Palestinians this way. However, it seems that the Israelis are determined to stop these attacks because they are not interested to see another, a third intifada on ground.
Mona, the first intifada, and I was in Palestine when it began, the Palestinians overwhelmingly supported Fatah at that time. By the time of the second and subsequently, the rival power of Hamas grew up. But I think I'm right in saying that most of these youth who are on the streets now and fighting their occupier are independent of probably both of these organizations, therefore not under the control of any political party or political organization. Who then has the authority to describe what's happening as the third intifada?
You're 100% right. This time, the Palestinians are fed up with both Fatah and Hamas and the other Palestinian powers. Just several days ago, on Tuesday exactly, there was a major demonstration called by Palestinian Islamic and national powers to head to the Columbia checkpoint, that is to the north of Ramallah and to the south of Jerusalem, Al-Quds. However, the number of the Palestinians who took part in this protest were only less than 150 Palestinians. However, let's say hundreds others took part in another demonstration on the same day that headed to Beit Eli checkpoint, that is adjacent to the illegal Israeli settlement of Beit Eli, and where the clashes are frequently carried out there. So it was a message that you Palestinian powers maybe are not the ones who are taking control in this period. But we can say that a third intifada has started when the resistance groups started carrying out attacks, operations against Israelis, issuing statements, and let's say taking control of what's going on. But up to the moment, those are young Palestinian youths in universities. They are less than 18 years old. They are school students who are taking part in these demonstrations. We witnessed for the first time Palestinian girls are taking part in these protests. They were helping those young men and providing them with the stones. And also they were throwing stones at the Israeli soldiers. This is something we have not been witnessing all these years. So it's very clear that those Palestinians, the young generation, are fed up with their leadership as well as with the Palestinian powers. Up to the moment, the resistance groups are not in control for what's going on. This is why the Israelis know very well it's not a serious, maybe a serious, let's say, start of an intifada. That's why they are trying to prevent those youths. However, tomorrow, Friday, there is a call for a major demonstration that should head to Kalandia checkpoint as well as the Beit El checkpoint here in Ramallah. Also, in the other Palestinian cities, there are calls for the Palestinians to go directly to the areas where the Israeli soldiers are, mainly checkpoints and areas adjacent to the Israeli settlements. And we expect it's going to be a violent day tomorrow, especially if the Israeli soldiers used more violence and used their ammunition against those unarmed Palestinians.
Well, it sounds like the political organizations are going to have to run to catch up with the people. Mona, thank you very much again for that report. Let's go to Ashraf Shannon, the Press TV correspondent in besieged Gaza. Ashraf, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway.
I hope you managed to hear Mona's situation report from occupied West Bank. Tell us, please, what's happening in Gaza this evening and what's likely to happen there tomorrow.
Well, Mr. Gallo, what's happening in Gaza is that the Palestinians here, around 1.8 million, most of them under, at least 60% of them under the age of 18, are fully supportive of this new intifada. For them, this is a third intifada that has started in late September when Israeli forces attacked the Al-Aqsa mosques and attacked the worshippers in Jerusalem Al-Quds, almost on a daily basis. These young people go out on the border areas near the so-called buffer zone, confront Israeli soldiers. At least 12 of them were killed doing that since last Friday.
They were killing them through a fence, injured. Yeah? They were actually in Gaza being killed by Israelis through the fence.
Yes, Mr. Galloway. Israeli soldiers, snipers were hiding behind sand dunes, shooting at the people. I witnessed that. I witnessed to that yesterday when Israeli troops east of Al Buraj refugee camp in central Gaza started firing live rounds towards the protesters. Most of the people who were there were under the age of 20. They're teenagers. They were just there to express their solidarity with the brothers and sisters in the West Bank and Jerusalem Al-Quds. And all of a sudden, without causing or posing any danger to Israeli soldiers, they started firing. Four people were injured, one in serious condition, dozens suffered from tear gas inhalation. And even today, another protest took place, and we expect more protests tomorrow following the Friday prayer, where hundreds are expected to head to this so-called buffer zone along the eastern perimeter of the Gaza Strip to express their anger towards what's happening and to support the third intifada. Almost every young man or woman I speak to, they say, yes, there is a third intifada, and this time it's the intifada of the youth, the Palestinian youth.
Well, I was talking to Mona Kandil in the West Bank, and she was indicating that the resistance organizations and the established political leadership has not yet declared it to be a third intifada, and I put it to her that they're perhaps going to have to run to catch up with the masses. I presume that's less true in Gaza, is it?
Well, the Palestinian factions in Gaza, except for Fatah, they expressed their support several times in the last 2 weeks for this intifada. Some of them describe it as a third intifada. Some of them describe it as a third intifada. Others saying just an intifada or a popular uprising. But there is support for it, and they wanted an increase to this intifada, especially in the West Bank, in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and the Palestinian territories occupied in 1948, which is called the Israeli regime right now.
Well, this is Jerusalem, Al-Quds intifada, isn't it? This is where the epicenter of the events are.
Yes, Mr. Gao, this is the Al-Quds intifada, and some people refer to it as Al-Quds intifada, compared to the last intifada, which was Al-Aqsa intifada, and the first intifada of 1987. So there is an uprising that's taking place and is gaining momentum, and this is happening amid international silence towards what Israel is doing to the Palestinians, both in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and especially to Palestinians in 1948, who are considered as Israeli citizens. At the same time, they are Palestinians, and they're facing heavy crackdown by Israeli forces there.
Yes, curfews, and that's only the beginning, I think. Ashraf, Shannon, thank you very much for bringing us the situation report from Gaza. Let's take the first call from the public, Anthony in London. Anthony, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Shall I tell you what will prompt a Palestinian intifada?
Please.
A Palestinian intifada will be caused by imams in Gaza putting knives above their heads and shouting, stab the Jews and stab the myths of their Talmud in their minds. This kind of incitement and hatred goes beyond the geopolitical conflict. This is the most vile and virulent form of racism, rearing its ugly head once again.
Anthony, have you ever heard of the rising of the Warsaw Ghetto in 1943?
Yes.
Now, in the Warsaw Ghetto, the occupiers surrounded the Jews that were trapped therein behind the wire, and the Jews there decided that they would have an intifada, that they would rise up. Even if they died, they preferred to die on their feet than to die on their knees of typhus and starvation and all the humiliations that siege brought. You may, I suspect not, but you may or may not be able to see any parallel in that. What would be the major difference from your point of view?
Well, I think it's a disgrace that you've compared
the
killing of 6 million Jews.
No, I'm talking about the Warsaw Uprising.
Yeah, but I'm
talking specifically about the Warsaw Uprising. What is the principal difference, just the principal ones, between the Jewish uprising in Warsaw, in the ghetto, in 1943, and what's happening now?
Well, George, I think that firstly, the Palestinians have you can't compare the way the Palestinians live compared to how the Jews were living in dire poverty and were
You don't think that Gaza, for example, can be compared to the Warsaw Ghetto?
No, because in Gaza, they live in relatively good comfort. Actually, the obesity level.
They're living in relatively good comfort. Anthony, when you play this back, as you surely will, you're going to realize just what a poor job you've made of your intervention on behalf of the apartheid state this morning. If only all of my enemies were so poor in their argument as you. That was Anthony in London. He's angry about the Palestinian intifada, as well he might be, because that intifada is going to capture the imagination of the world and may already have done so. It's put Palestine right back at the center of the political agenda, an agenda that has been dominated by the fanatics of ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria and Iraq, and Palestine was forgotten. Now, I have to go for a short news bulletin, just 3 minutes. God willing, I'll still be here when you get back. You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Now, Anthony called me from London just before the break, and I've been reflecting on what he said, principally his assertion that the people of Gaza, and I quote him, are living quite comfortably, actually. I was reflecting on it because I was trying to work out whether this was an example of mendacity, of lying on such a grand scale that Goebbels would blush if he tried it, or whether in fact it is an example of the willful self-deception that has afflicted so many supporters of Israel. I personally believe it's the latter. They have created a cocoon which repels all truth, all fact, and the feelings and empathy of all other people other than themselves. And inside that cocoon, they continue to believe things like that the people of Gaza are living quite comfortably, actually. That's a quote, Anthony, which will live a long time. Alexander's in the UK. Let's hear from him. Alexander, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. George Galloway. I don't know which one to be more angry with. The guy in front of me, before me, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's talking out from his backside. And yep. Anyway, and he's a moron. Anyway,
well, he was talking on behalf of him, which says it all, really.
Well, yeah, obviously, but I'm saying that they're living relatively well in Gaza. And let me tell you something. What do you call the ghetto in Poland or wherever? That was nothing compared to this. This they actually they're killing them, destroying their houses, destroying hospitals, yeah, and destroying the UN, United Nations. What do you call that has been labeled? I don't know what I mean. As a Muslim brother, I feel like I should go down there and help them, my sisters and my brothers.
Well, I'll tell you what you would find it impossible to do that. But what you can do is this. You can get on your computer and email your Member of Parliament. You can call the House of Commons, 0207-219-3000, ask to speak to your Member of Parliament and ask them what they are doing.
My MB.
Well, tell them that you will never vote for him again and you will do everything you can to bring about his defeat at the next general election, because he is an unashamed agent of Israel in the British Parliament and before that in the Labour Party's international department. He's not paid by Israel. He doesn't need to be paid. He's a true believer. Yeah. He's a true believer in this. He's a true believer in the apartheid Zionist state which did this. Alexander, thanks for your call, and you were a little bit lost for words, and I understand that, but I can assure you your feelings came across loud and clear. Your words didn't let you down. Now let's go to Somalia, where Mohammed is on the line. Mohammed, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy for you, for your health.
Thank you.
And you always support Palestinians.
I have and will until my last breath.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm sure they will be the first part. Okay, Israel caused the Intifada and the whole world is watching. You know what is going on around? You know, Palestinians, their homes are being demolished. Their children are being killed and kidnapped. And the whole world is still watching. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
That's exactly right. Who wouldn't rise up if this had been done to your neighborhood? If your children, in the case of Gaza, were actually starving? If disease and water, unfit for human consumption, was all that you had to give your children on a hot summer's day, who wouldn't rise up? As I pointed out to the poor fool, Anthony, before the break, that's what the Jewish people did in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1943. They decided, enough, enough. We can die in our ones and twos of hunger and disease and deprivation of all kinds behind this wire. Or we can stand up and make an intifada and tear down these wires. Surely we'll be killed in doing it. But it's better to die on your feet than to live forever on your knees, never mind to live for another few weeks or months before the rest of the depredations get you. And it's the fact that the supporters of Israel cannot see this comparison, are blinded to it, have blinded themselves to it, which is the major problem here. Muhammad, I don't know if you know, but there's Netanyahu, who we thought was the worst you could possibly get, but there's a whole mass of political opinion and politicians that are even worse than him, who are trying to come to power in Tel Aviv on the back of all this, saying that Netanyahu has not been hard enough, not been tough enough. Now, here's a short clip of a victim of Israel hugging his dead child. Some of you may find it very disturbing. That child is 2 years old, or was, before Anthony's friends killed her. If you didn't understand the words, he was saying, "Baba, Daddy, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Wake up. Don't leave me." Let me talk to Zona in occupied Palestine.
Hi. Welcome from Jerusalem, the undivided capital of the Jewish people for eternity.
Yeah, you
Let me congratulate. Excuse me, I'm talking, Mr. Galloway.
No. Now, Zona, you picked the wrong time after just watching that video to be impertinent and rude with me. You're a guest on my show, and I'll give you your say. But don't tell me what I can say and when I can say it. Now, go ahead, Zona.
Mr. Galloway, you're an absolute lowlife. Yeah? To compare the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto to the Palestinians, who are, every second Palestinian is suffering from obesity, and the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto didn't know where the next crumb of bread is going to come from. You're a sickening, disgusting lowlife, you are. You're a hated man. You're a sicko. That's what you are. To compare these two people, yeah? Jews were fighting for their next crumb of bread. Palestinians, they've got so much food in Gaza that can make rockets, and they can use all their stuff to fight rockets, yeah? That's the comparison between the Warsaw Ghetto and Gaza. Now, let me just thank the IDF for doing a fantastic job. Let me just warn any Palestinian out there, if you dare think of coming out and stabbing a Jew just because he was Jew, and the Jew that was hacked to death in front of the whole world, which has been seen by over 4 million people just on the IDF's Facebook page. He wasn't even a Zionist. He was a Jew. He was from a cult which was anti-Zionist. It just shows these barbarians, bloodthirsty, sickening warmongers don't differentiate between Zionism and Judaism. They are a bunch of Hitlers and Nazis. That's what they are.
Well, I think the audience around the world has heard you loud and clear. They heard your assertion that Jerusalem, which is holy to many, is the undivided capital of Israel. That's only in your dreams. I promise you, this nightmare, it has a long way to go, but it will end only one way, and it is in the end of the arrogance and wickedness that you represent. Now, Al Mabruk is in Toronto. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, Toronto.
Thank you very much. I will start first to thank you as usual. We thank you very much. And for talking for the people who have no voice sometimes, or they have low voice, or the injured and the killed one, which is he couldn't find anybody to defend them. So thank you to start with.
It's my duty. Thank you.
Second thing now, I remember my father was telling me that in his generation and before him, they were living in peace. Originally, I'm from Egypt, so we're talking about, he said that they were living in peace for a very long time. They didn't have, obviously, major wars and so on. But in my generation, since 1948 until now, we did see about 6 major wars, and the place have been upside down, and now the whole Middle East on fire. So let's tell you what the situation is right now. Now, why these things? I always said, had Israel started its life with a peaceful agreement somewhere without the war of 1948, it will have more peaceful existence than what they have now. What they have now is not good for the Jewish people, not good for the Arab people.
No, no.
It's not good for
the people. The people of Einstein and Epstein and Marx and Chomsky, the people that led the world in the level of their learning and civilization, have become the screeching, hateful, madmen like Zuna that we've just been listening to. That's what Zionism has done for the Jewish people. And there are many Jews who are not Zionists. And most Zionists are not Jews. But this sickness of Zionism, which is the reverse of the coin, the other side of the coin of fascism, which argues that Jews can never live in their own countries. They must go to take someone else's country and treat them like this. This sickness of Zionism has destroyed the soul of so many of a people who were once great, once the greatest. That's my view, Al.
Now, I have another small remark to make.
Yeah.
The decision of United Nations of 1947 to start the division of the country of Palestine, obviously, it's have something very wrong with it, because the result of it, we see it today. We see the whole Middle East on fire. The Jewish people is not happy. The Arab people is not happy. So no doubt that this decision was taken in a kind of expedient way to achieve some goals, which, as you know, it was very hard to do it in any other time. So if something wrong, it has to be repaired and fixed. Can anybody think how to fix this problem? Because that's the major, major things to start with.
Well, the one thing I'm certain of is that the agreements that the Palestinian leadership signed with the Israeli leadership are dead and buried. And I'm secondly absolutely convinced that as a surgeon cannot operate on his own foot, this operation will have to be performed from outside. And it will have to be performed in this way. The governments of the world, the peoples of the world, will have to begin to treat the apartheid state with all the opprobrium that the apartheid state of South Africa was treated, until between the hammer of popular resistance in the inside and the anvil of international ostracism and opposition on the outside, this will not change. Of this I'm sure. I interviewed today a 90-year-old Jewish anti-fascist woman from a Jewish anti-fascist family in London who went to Indonesia, married there, and was imprisoned for 3 years by the fascist coup, the generals of Suharto and his junta. And at 90 years old, she reminded me in everything she said and the way that she said it of how great the Jewish people were and could be again. But as long as they cling to this madness of Zionism, this madness of racial supremacy, racial superiority, as long as they treat the Palestinian people as subhumans, which is how they are treating them now, then this sickness can only grow and weaken them still further. Let me go to Declan in Ireland. Declan, welcome.
Spent there quite a bit of time on the West Bank and in Palestine and in Jerusalem. So I'd like to pick up a couple of points. I asked a Christian gynecologist from Bethlehem, what's all this stuff about babies being born on the side of the road? And he said that when we see a pregnant woman with a hijab, we see a human being. But that the Israeli soldiers don't see a human being. They see a subhuman that they want to mistreat, just like the Nazis would have done. I've spoken to the nicest Christian priests you could meet. Nice, harmless fellas. And they get strip searched at checkpoints just so that they know who's a human and who, like them, are a subhuman. I met this other bloke who lives in a cave on his own land, and he faces this huge Israeli settlement that's like Manhattan or somewhere. So I said to him, why are you living in the cave? And he said, if I go back to my house, they will rob my land here. And if he puts one stone on top of another, the Israelis are into him for building without permission. And yet he has the skyline of Manhattan opposite him. So the Israelis, they are treating the Palestinians in a league something like the Nazis. And as regards the Nazis, can we go up to a Yazidi woman and start saying, hey, you know, my great-grandparents, now I'm Irish, I'm not Jewish, were mistreated by the Nazis. As it happens, my family fought the Nazis in Spain. But, you know, to say to the Yazidis or anybody else who suffered, and that's what the Israelis have done. We know how horrible the Nazis are, but they ended in 1945, and we're looking today at Thursday, October, and what you've done tonight by asking that chap in London to phone his MP and more or less saying to the Canadian chap, you're asking them to do whatever they can do. There's no doubt that the big guns are on the side of Israel, the big paid guns in Britain, in America, in Ireland, everywhere else. But if all people of human will do something, there is hope. As regards the obesity, yes, I've seen a bit of obesity amongst the Palestinians, and I'll tell you why. Because they're starved of their own good food, which is taken from them, and then they're fed with second-rate Coca-Cola and Pepsi because they're impoverished, that's all they could afford.
Well, that's
now,
a fact.
We could go on about this, but it's a question of doing something, George.
Well, I think we got a message tonight that until the Palestinians are skeletal, they will not be comparable. I never compare the situation of the Palestinians with the Holocaust because on a matter of scale, nothing can be compared to the Holocaust. But the individual behavior by individual Zionists, settlers, and many soldiers and police to individual Palestinians is absolutely comparable. And the situation in Gaza is absolutely comparable to the situation in the Warsaw Ghetto. And sooner or later, Jewish people who support Israel now are going to have to confront that very, very, very deeply uncomfortable truth. Now, on Saturday, at midday until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I will be demonstrating outside the embassy of the terrorist state in London. And I hope every decent person in Britain watching this will make every effort to join me. Declan, thanks for the call. Amr Hossein is in Iran and on the line. Welcome, Amr. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, George.
Yes.
George, I believe that the atrocities that the Israelis did in the past prompted the Palestinians for the third intifada. Are you hearing me, George?
I am, sir. Go ahead.
I believe that the atrocities and the wrong things that the Israelis did in the past, maybe they themselves and their fathers in the past had done for the Palestinians, is prompting the Palestinians for their third intifada to gain their humanitarian rights, their primary rights to live in their country, in their own land. Yes, George?
I'm sorry, I'm watching some extraordinary footage. Nobody, no man, woman, or child, no old man, no old woman, no baby is safe from the... Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. Look at what just happened there on the screen. It is unspeakable. Do you hear me? It's unspeakable. Zachary in Aberdeen. Go ahead.
Galavaya, please let me to talk two points. One, the getaway or ghetto has nothing to do with the Palestinians. Somebody else has done that, and that bread was for nobody. I mean, there was shortage of bread for everybody. Secondly, the intifada should be by all Muslims, and all Muslims should push pressure on their government to cut relation with any country that have a relation with Israel. In this case, all Muslims all over must reinforce intifada in Palestine. And in this way, every country must cut relation with Israel.
Well, I'm with you on that, Zachary, unusually, on your second point. That footage I just saw there for the first time, I hope every Muslim in the whole world can watch that and will ask themselves, what am I doing? What is my king or president doing about that? You can continue the discussion on Twitter, comment_PressTV. It's been marvellous.
Hello, just comment your name and the picture you left my number. And just make sure the site has the volume set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know, I know. You can redirect me through this phone number and then we'll do that. Comment.
I can have your telephone number.
Okay, so I'll send my comment.